Rob Parr,
Central Avenue.
We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Base vehicle free count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2,
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Homemade Broadcast. It's episode 498. Holy guacamole. My name is Will Kuntz. Welcome to the program. With me, as always, the vibrant, the gorgeous. I don't, that doesn't feel right. The
ouch.
The present. Humble. I'm just kidding. You are gorgeous. Hi. Oh, hey, wow. Gorgeous. How you doing?
I'm doing well. You know what? No. I'm doing well.
And hey, I just found these. I was looking around in my bedroom and I have a bunch of stickers, nice stickers, clings for your window. So it doesn't make sticky stuff on there, but it's got the great, phenomenal Super Bowl, ring graphic there. So if anybody wants any for free, just let me know and I'll mail you some, thehomemadebroadcast@gmail.com. So, Anna, it's a lot going on this week. The world is still preemptively ending. Maybe. I don't know. I saw there's a black flag on top of the Iranian capital right now, which apparently means that it's go time. It's never been raised before. I don't really know too much about it, but I don't know. I don't want to talk about that this week. I want to talk about this guy. Does the name Douglas Mackey mean anything to you?
It does not, no.
What about Ricky Vaughn? Does that name mean anything to you?
It does not, no.
Okay. So this guy is the guy who he was sentenced today. He was found guilty of election interference for making a meme where he's talked about, this is him, I guess. This is what he looks like in real life. He had the literal Ricky Vaughn from Major League logo, and it had a MAGA hat on his logo. Okay. On Twitter, and he was kind of like this anonymous Twitter person. He got arrested for saying he made memes that essentially said that you can vote by text, I think is what it was. If you're going to vote for Hillary, oh, this is it right here. See it? I'm with her. Avoid the line. Vote from home. Text Hillary to 59925. And that's what... I mean, it's a joke. Obviously, you can't vote by text. Why can't you vote by text, though? That seems like a good way to do it. I guess you could get a bunch of cell phones.
I guess you have to register your phone number. What if people don't, like, what about old people? Oh, you're saying it's an option?
Yeah.
I think you're just making things a lot more confusing, but I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, in which way would, if you have multiple phones, right? Then you can vote multiple times.
If you got burner phones or something, yeah, that could potentially be an issue.
Or if you don't have a phone, well, then I guess you could just do a mail-in or something, or just go to the ballot box and do it.
But
once to stop you, then you have to make sure that people didn't vote in person and also vote via their phone. So
I guess you could like spoof a number too, pretty easy. I was going to say you could register your number, you know, with the county or whatever, the elections board, and that way you just take votes that way. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's totally out of the question now. You can vote by text for American Idol, for example, but you can't vote for, you know, president that way. Yeah. So he was facing like 10 years, I think, in prison for this crime of making this meme right here. Here it is. This is the one that got him in a lot of trouble. And he got 7 months, which people are breathing a sigh of relief today. But holy guacamole, 7 months for making a meme. Like we've come a long way here in the, I don't know, the freedom of the country and liberty is, you gotta be careful what jokes you make now. Quite literally, I think is the lesson from this whole thing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Certainly. What is this woman, clamoring about?
So this one was this lady did the same thing, Christina Wong, but she did, hey, Trump supporters, skip the poll lines, election 2016, and text in your vote. Text votes are legit, or vote tomorrow on Super Wednesday. It's obviously Super Tuesday is the day. I guess the difference here, she did the same joke, but she didn't actually provide a number, maybe. I think that's the difference that they're saying. So this woman is not facing any sort of charges or criminal prosecution, but the other guy, Douglas Mackey, is going to jail. I guess not prison. Prison is a year or more.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess she just didn't provide the number, so... You know, there was really no way. She's just kind of like making a joke, where I guess the other guy made it seem like it's more legit. And here's the thing, much like you said, it's not like voting by text doesn't exist, not for the presidency, but it does. And I feel like a lot of people who are young, who maybe are fans of American Idol or whatnot, or just maybe super dumb, would fall for it and start texting and then maybe not go to the polls and actually vote. And then they're like, oh, well, I saw this thing on social media that told me I don't have to. So, you know,
they should really make it easier to vote, though. There's got to be ways. I mean, I'm afraid to even say elections on YouTube, but there's got to be an easier way than having to go somewhere. I mean, you can do mail. And obviously, we know that mail has some issues and could be easily hacked, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, you could farm these ballots. You could there was a lot of people going into nursing homes, for example, and helping. You know, helping grandmas and grandpas vote. Who do you want to vote for? I want to vote for Donald Trump. And they're like, okay. And then they mark Joe Biden down and put it in the envelope and send it away. I mean, that's definitely happened, and vice versa, I'm sure. But I think that there was more of a concentrated effort on one aisle more than the other of doing that. And
well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because, of course, there's election fraud every election cycle. It's nothing new. People are always going to try to game the system in their favor. Fair enough. I accept that that exists. My question is, which form of voting, whether it be in person, pencil, paper, and or electronic voting by some means, whether it be phone, computer, something like that. If hacked, if the system is hacked, which one is potentially more devastating, right? So I feel like, again, the low-tech option is a lot harder to fake the funk. Like, it's going to take a lot more effort on the part of many bad actors to really change the amount of votes in a way that would change the outcome of an election versus a few bad apples out of, let's just say, Silicon Valley, who are able to hack some sort of electronic system in the favor of whoever they want by a magnitude of millions. So again, I don't know the answer to this, but it's not like, obviously you want to prevent election fraud, but if we accept that election fraud exists, in which case is it more devastating? Right. In which way is it harder to commit election fraud? I would say probably the low tech option, right? To like harvest the votes. You need lots of people on your team versus like, and again, I am not that computer savvy, clearly, but you know, would it be just a handful of people that could change the election versus, you know, a more concerted effort where it would be, you know, the more people you have involved in an operation, the easier it is to catch somebody doing something wrong, right? Yeah. Versus if it's just one or two, where did it come from? I don't know. So I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that the low tech option in some way offers some sort of barrier against like widespread election fraud because it's harder to harvest paper ballot votes versus an electronic option where you could, you know, write some software, voodoo stuff and change the outcome? What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like the harvesting portion is not fraud necessarily. It's just a way of securing these ballots. It's under the guise of helping people vote. Now, of course, they could.
Some of these people are like dead. Like, it is fraud. Forget about like helping the old people vote.
I'm definitely getting a strike on the YouTube channel today. That's okay though. I don't care. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know why and what the regulations are. Maybe there's certain laws against this, but why doesn't Joe Biden and Donald Trump and these other candidates make an app and like have an official GOP and Democrat app that goes on your phone? You get a push notification when it's time to vote. And you can do it in local campaigns too, to really start.
You have like 16-year-olds who have fake IDs that are, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It opens up a lot of vulnerabilities, you know, I think.
I mean, this article here talks about, I think they actually used the word cabal. It's very long. It's in Time magazine. It was 2021, I think, when this came out. The secret history of the shadow campaign that helped save the 2020 election. And it talks about these groups, these grassroots organizations and people that got together in Zoom meetings with hundreds of people in them to, you know, lock down the election, kind of get these ballots together, make sure people are voting by mail, get these ballots to where they need to be counted. Like there's something about, you know, obviously collectivists, which I think people on the left would be more collectivist than people on the right, no doubt about it. I think they're more individual. They get things done because they work together. And that's what all of these groups did, activist groups, grassroots. You know, it was so important to. So while it the election wasn't necessarily S-worded, you know what I mean when I say S-worded?
Yeah.
It was. If it was, like, if you call this shadow campaign S-wording, then, yeah, it was. But it was kind of S-worded fair and square, if that was the case, because I don't think it broke any rules necessarily. Now, I know there's been other allegations about, you know, blocking off these counting centers, what do you call them, the election centers, and not allowing people to see what's going on inside there, blocking the windows, and who knows what was going on in there. I don't know. I haven't seen any concrete proof of anything. It's certainly fishy, and there's been some big outlets who have reported, like Rasmussen, some of these claims that claim to have proven some of these things. But I don't know, like, you can go into a courtroom. Just because something gets thrown out of court doesn't mean that it didn't happen. I mean, judges are appointed by politicians a lot of the times. So they're partisan actors. So if you're facing, you know, Trump's facing this lady in, where's he getting tried at? It's not Florida, is it? Is it New York or?
I'm like, which one?
Yeah, I guess that's true. There's many of them. There's that weird Bernie Sanders
thing. You're talking about January 6th. Are you talking about the business fraud? Are you talking about
who's the lady, the black lady?
Mar-a-Lago documents. Like, what are we talking about?
Who's the black lady that put a gag order on him?
Oh, the attorney general.
No. It's a judge.
Oh.
One of his trials, there's a, you know, a lady that put a gag order on him.
No, I don't know.
And you just,
I think that was the Georgia vote steal.
You just see. Like, I'm sorry, but I see a picture of that lady. I go, I know what you're, but like, you're one of these, like the case of him being a monster and, you know, needing to be wrangled in by society is there. Like she's there as a judge to uphold the law, but you really think he's going to get a fair shake? Like, I just look at him and I go, no. Same thing with the other guy. It looks like Bernie Sanders. I'm like, yeah, I don't think he's going to get a fair shake. I don't know if they're jury trials or not. Maybe they are, but you know, you run the same risks there. You saw that weird chick. Remember the Georgia one? Like, we're going to get him. She had the weird physiognomy. Is that how you say that word?
I don't know what that is.
It's like a body shape, features, just weird features. Kind of look like a bird.
Say it again.
Physiognomy. You never heard that? Let me look it up. Maybe I'm saying it completely wrong.
I've never heard that before. I mean, that doesn't mean that you're wrong. I've never heard that before.
Let's see. Share this tab instead. Let's see.
Not physiognomy.
A person's facial features expression, especially when regarded as indicative of a character or ethnic origin. So just
can
the
you
way
spell
they.
It?
Yeah, it's right here. You see it?
No.
on the screen. Oh, it's not on there. I need a producer, man. This is crazy. Here we go. There you go.
Oh, okay. All right. Yep.
Physiognomy.
Oh my God. Same thing.
So she, I mean, she just looked like a bird. Like you see, I don't know. You just, everybody's in a corner now. Everybody's biased, including politicians, obviously politicians, but including the judges now who kind of have this veil and mask of prestige that they're there to uphold the law no matter what, that justice is blind. And we just know that's not the case. There's so many examples, like the Douglas Mackey guy who put the meme out, and then this other chick did the same thing, you know, except didn't have a number. There was little nuances that it's different this time. But I don't know. You just know that justice is not blind. And, you know, these judges are put in place by these weirdo politicians who are super. It's like, I just don't believe that anybody, just because you went through court and got found guilty or innocent of something, certainly does not mean that always meant that. Right. Like, it doesn't mean you're necessarily innocent or guilty. It's beyond a reasonable doubt type of thing. But now I'm like, yeah, I don't believe any of that. I don't know. I wouldn't trust the justice system. I don't trust politicians. I don't trust anything anymore as something good or reasonable anymore. It's totally off the rails.
Yes. Yeah. It's funny because, like, when we think about, and I know, I think it was Dave Smith who was talking about this, but he talks about how, like, law works. You know, everyone thinks it's like this book full of laws, and if you break a law, then this is the, you know, equal, this is the punishment, this is the consequence. But he broke it down, like, all the way to, you know, the most minor offense, which is like you get pulled over for speeding. And in that moment, even though you've broken the law of exceeding speed limit by X amount of miles, in that moment, that cop can either decide to let you off with a warning or he can give you a ticket.
Yep.
You know, and it was just like the perfect, not even analogy, because he was just explaining it how it works. Cause we think like, oh, you know, if you commit this crime, then this is what you get. It's like, no. It's all about who you know. You know, maybe that cop knows you, maybe he's having a good day, maybe he's having a bad day. Maybe, you know, you're the wrong color, maybe he doesn't care, maybe whatever, maybe he just got laid the night before. Who knows, whatever the case may be, but it's at his discretion to either implement a punishment or not.
Yeah.
And that pretty much goes all the way, you know, regarding most crimes, even when you're looking at things like, you know, Epstein, for example, the sweetheart deal that he probably shouldn't have gotten. By the way, if we may just, I had an interesting thought that I think that you might appreciate. I'm kind of tying this into the Israeli-Palestinian conflict that's going on now. I've been watching a lot of media, which is probably not good for my mental health, but it's, I don't know, I would rather be like depressed and know the truth, or at least be in search of the truth. I don't know the truth. Than just be willfully ignorant. Mm-hmm. You know, I give myself credit for trying. But I was watching this debate between Don King, aka Cornel West, and Alan Dershowitz. Okay. And I'm watching this, and obviously, for reasons we already know, I was agreeing with pretty much everything Dershowitz was saying. And then I'm reminded that he was best pals with Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny because in that moment, I was like, I mean, was Epstein really that bad? You know what I mean? Because your spectrum for what is tolerable behavior has shifted. Because when you hear about like just the unfathomable, unconscionable atrocities that Hamas committed against the Israeli people, now R. Kelly, I mean, not great, but could have been worse. Like, that's how you feel. And it was like this thing where I'm like, get it, Dershowitz, like, tell Cornell. And then I'm like, Dershowitz, I'm like, he's a scumbag, like, child rapist. I'm like, but at least he wasn't like burning people alive. You know what I mean? It's so bizarre. I was talking to someone in jiu-jitsu last night about this. It's like you have no other choice with how to cope with this sort of stuff than gallows humor. You know, you just, you're like, well, you know, at least R. Kelly wasn't burning people. Crazy stuff, but you just have a weird amount of like tolerance for things that you, even just a week and a half ago, completely inacceptable, inappropriate, intolerable. But what's up, Mark Carr? Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's just a kind of an interesting thing about relativity, you know, where all of a sudden, not some Epstein, I mean, whatever.
You know, I've heard about that, and I've heard somebody say, it sounds bad to say it out loud. And while I kind of agree with it, I'm also like, no, I'm just not willing to cross that line. But it's like, when you're, I don't even know if I should say it, but it's like the women on Epstein Island, the girls, it's not like they were 8. They were like 16, right? Which is bad. 15, 16, it's still not good. It's bad, but it'd be worse if they were like 8. Right? I think we can all agree on that. There's degrees of badness.
Yeah, I would suggest, and much like you, I'm like, is this a hill I die on?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that, what do you call it? I wouldn't say that most of the girls were children. Minors, yes.
Yeah.
Adolescents, yes. I think the youngest was 12.
That's pretty bad. That's bad. That seems really bad.
But I mean, it's funny, not funny, interesting, but you know, a 16-year-old in the United States, I mean, I guess it depends on the state, but federally, you cannot give consent until you're 18. But in the UK, you can. And in some countries it's 14, and in some countries it's 17, and in some countries it's 15. You know, so this whole, if he's in international waters, you know, not great. Not great. It wasn't that he didn't take advantage or do horrible, horrible things. But I also think, much like you, that it's important to make a distinction that, and it's easy to say pedophile because everybody knows what that means. But when it's people, when you're talking about teenage girls who are probably usually between the ages of like 15 and 17 or 14, maybe, like, I don't think that those people are pedophiles. I don't think that a 15-year-old girl is comparable to a 4-year-old girl. They look very different. One is probably like reproductively viable. The other one is not. And that doesn't mean that it's right or wrong. But I'm just saying, if you're going to blame anybody, it's time to blame God, because God gave that 14-year-old juicy boobies and guys are looking at him. And we can pretend that we're suddenly blind and we don't see girls as attractive, whether being whoever the viewer is. Like, I'm like, oh, I don't see a pretty 17-year-old. And just the day she turns 18, I'm like, she's hot. No, we're all very much aware that that is a beautiful young lady. And then she turns 18 and it's like, yeah, I want to blast her. Okay. Like, we just were afraid of being called pedophiles. I don't think that a 15-year-old and a 5-year-old are comparable. So if a man is attracted to a 15-year-old girl, I don't think that that man is a pedophile. I don't know how we got there.
Yeah. Well, it's tough. It's like, that's with that stuff, you know, age of consent and stuff. I'm like, we got it. It's just 18. Like, let's not even mess with it anymore. I know there's nuance there. I know we could talk about it and you could legislate it, but we got a number. Let's just leave it where it is and be done with it. You know, we don't need to go back on that one, because it's going to lead to some dark places. But right. I understand.
But also, it's not just the age. It's also the age of the perpetrator. Right. So like in Florida, isn't there the Romeo and Juliet law? Those 6 years.
Yeah. Something like that.
So anyways, it's gray.
Everything is, but now there's a push to, and I guess there is calls in some, you know, aspects to look at what the age of consent is and where it lies. And it's mostly on university campuses now by people who may have transitioned into another gender. But
very interesting point, Will. I kind of want to go down that rabbit hole, but it's up to you.
I mean, let's do it. I had a few other things, but we don't necessarily need to get to them. I kind of like when it just free flows like this, stream of consciousness.
That's a really, really, really interesting point that was brought to my attention a few months ago, that if you were allowing a child to have consent before the age of 18 without parental consent, and you're viewing that child as a conscious agent that doesn't need any sort of parental guidance, and if that kid wants to transition at age 8, we should allow that kid and give him or her or they these hormones or possibly mastectomies at the age of 14. If we're willing to allow that sort of consent from a child, then that kind of opens up the door to
sexual consent. Sure does.
And say, well, you know, if an 8-year-old is giving consent to change his or her body, then an 8-year-old should also be able to give consent to have sex with somebody else. And that is a very, very, very scary slippery slope. But I feel like that is exactly the direction it's going. Is it not? Like,
I definitely could. Yeah. And it is opening the door. That's what I'm saying. Like, with this stuff, just, we got a number, just let it be. And we can save ourselves a lot of uncomfortable discussions. And a lot of people say we should have uncomfortable discussions. I'm like, yeah, but we're getting into like demonic discussions now. We're talking about things to do with children. That's I'm not comfortable with. And I don't think the majority of people are comfortable with. And I think, who was it? Some comedian. It might've been Shane Gillis. He had a joke. It was like, can you imagine when they were trying to figure out the age of consent? And they were like, the gentleman from Delaware. And he goes, 12. Yo, what the? Everybody's like, bro, what the hell? And he's like, what? What? What's the big deal? Yeah. So, I mean, like, we already had that and we decided on this number. So let's not go.
I need to see this clip immediately.
I think it was Shane Gillis. I'll see if I can find it. Well, let me see if I can find it now, real quick. YouTube.
That would be hilarious. Because that's probably how it happened.
Oh, yeah. I think it is him. Dude, I went down a Shane Gillis rabbit hole.
He's so funny. He's
the best. That was a guy that, if you don't know, got canceled by Saturday Night Live. And I remember when it happened, I was like, I don't know who this guy is. I'm on his team, though. I don't think he should have been fired for his crimes of making jokes on podcasts. But I looked, he became so much of a bigger star. Like, he would have went to waste on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
They would have not utilized him to his full capacity.
Although he had the best Trump impression I've ever heard in my life.
I don't know if I've ever heard it. All right, here's the one.
My God. Look up the dog. Oh, I'll send it to you. It's something about the dog. He cried like a little dog. I'll send it to you after the show.
It's funny when you bring up Down syndrome, you can always tell who's never been around it in their lives. Like, if I... Never mind, I was thinking about the first time, like, Congress had to come up with age of consent.
Let me see if I could find
it. Like, the powdered wigs and stuff, that had to be a rough day for the fellas.
Oh, sorry, I thought I was playing this.
Some guy coming up first.
I need a producer, man. This is
It's funny when you bring up Down syndrome, you can...
This is not going the way I want it. All right, pause, and then I'm going to pull it up here. We're just sitting there in silence, like dickheads. Here we go, Anna.
Never mind, I was thinking about the first time, like, Congress had to come up with age of consent.
Can you turn it, make it louder?
That had to be, like, the powdered wigs and stuff. That had to be a rough
day. No, I can't. Sorry.
Fellas.
Okay.
It's like some guy coming up first, like, from Rhode Island, 12. And I was like, ew, ew. No, dude. I don't know. Why'd I have to go first on this one?
That was it. That was right. Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah, I think I actually heard he died like a dog. Yeah, the Shane Gillis thing. I definitely went down the Shane Gillis rabbit hole over the past few days. I've been catching up on all of his stuff. And what a man. What a comedian.
Yeah, did you watch his Netflix special?
I don't have Netflix, so no, I did not. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It took a while to warm up, but there were some high spots for sure.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Pretty good. Would recommend.
I did see one on, I wonder if it was the same one that's on YouTube, or is it did you do one just for Netflix?
I believe so, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I have to check that out. I must know somebody with Netflix. This is crazy. 813-693-2124, thehomemadebroadcast@gmail.com. If you want to email me there, I did get Scott's music that he edited in a clean version. So I'm going to play that for a rejoiner at some point, I guess next time I'm by myself at night, maybe we'll do that. But if you want to send that stuff, any emails, concerns, comments, you can do that. And 813-693-2124. I've been getting voicemails from this one guy.
Yeah.
But he calls from not this number that's here. He calls, I guess, CMG's number. And I didn't know this, but I guess I have an extension. And I never knew that. And then also it goes to Teams, Microsoft Teams. So I had like a bunch of voicemails from this one drunk guy. Some of them very mean, and some of them funny, and some of them abusive, sexually abusive. But they're really good. I like those. So put them on. I had no idea that this existed. I didn't know I had an extension until recently.
It only took you 7 years.
7 years. I think eight. Is it eight? Might have been eight. No.
You started in 16, right?
No. I don't know.
Huh.
It's been a long time. It's been way longer.
We've known each other since 17. Yeah. I remember the first time we like not hung out, but we had the golf tournament. We had a ride together.
Oh, right.
And I thought you were 12 years younger than you were.
Yes, that's right. I do remember.
I may have been patronizing. I'm like, oh, are you in college? And you're like, no, I graduated just a few years ago. But I didn't know you were in college for 8 years. You know, I didn't do the math. And then I remember I was like, how old are you? And you're like, I'm 33. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, man, you'd be 39 next month.
I know. Crazy, I know. Are you planning anything for your day?
I mean, like, I feel like I need to get on that ASAP if I'm going to do that. Probably not, realistically. You know, it's what do people want to do? You know, I got to make people come to my birthday party at 39 years old.
Do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, you're saying you don't want to pressure anybody to do anything.
I just, you know, everybody, people have kids, you know, they're married. It's like, it's the Thanksgiving's right around there. It's, I don't know. I would feel guilty asking somebody, hey, you want to come like play kickball for a 39-year-old's birthday? That sounds fun, though. I would like to do that.
No, I think that that's great. And a lot of times people, and I actually learned this with your group of friends, is nobody really wants to organize a get together, but people are usually more than happy to go along with a plan that already exists.
Yeah.
So nobody wants to like gather everyone together. But if you say, hey, there's a party at so-and-so's house, people are interested in coming. And I learned that with your group of friends, because I started to realize that they were terribly bad at like galvanizing troops. Like, do you want to do something? I don't know. What are you up to? What do you want to do? But if you already said that there was a set plan to do something, everyone was on board. And I tried that with your group of friends in, I believe it was February of 2020, right before the shutdowns. And I just said, hey, a bunch of us, meaning me and myself, are going to be at X Bar at this time. You should come hang out. Like, everybody came, including a person who later became a murderer.
Oh,
so,
yes.
You know. It was a good time.
I do remember that. That was a fun. Yeah, that's true. I have a really hard time with, you're right, the planning aspect. I don't know what would need to go into. Do you even need to rent a field?
You already did this.
I didn't do it. I think my buddy did it last time.
Whoa.
I didn't do it. But there was no bathrooms open. You know, you talk about a competency crisis now. It definitely, even back then, was a whole reason to rent it and pay the fee, was for them to come and open the bathrooms and then lock them back up afterwards. And nobody did that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't even know if it's worth it to reserve somewhere to do something like that, or if you just go in, you know, raw dog it and see what happens. I almost like that idea better.
I can try to organize something. If that is something that you want to do, I will organize it for you. I don't mind doing that. But I just want to know that you actually want to do it.
Let me look this up. City of St. Petersburg. What would you even Google? City of St. Petersburg Rent.
Like renting a field.
Rent a field. Athletic field rentals. There you go. Application. Submit following questions, availability, payments. $10 per hour with lights, $15. Okay, so I mean you could probably do just do an hour and then play however long you want. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, that does sound fun. We did that a few years ago. That was a blast.
It was honestly a great time. Like I remember that and I was like, that was badass. That was super cool.
I was so sore for so many days afterwards. I have to,
if we do that,
I got to stretch big time, big time. There's a few other things I had here on the list. Do you remember last week that Trump said something about shooting people who rob stores? Are you familiar with that?
I don't think I saw that.
Okay. I got to be my own producer here. Share, present, share screen. Here we go. Here he is talking about, can you see him?
Yep.
Here we go.
Signal that supporters say he was worth the wait.
Under the Trump administration, we will bring back law and order to California.
The former president promising to crack down on California's election system and prosecutors who serve in what he says are crime-ridden cities. He went as far to say retail thieves will be shot by law enforcement. He blamed Democrats for the state's demise.
Together, we will reverse the decline of America and we will end the desecration of your once great state, California. This is not a great state anymore. This is a dumping ground. You're a dumping ground. The world is being dumped into California. Prisoners, terrorists, mental patients. You have mental institutions.
California Republicans say the party will overwhelmingly support him in the primary election.
I would say overwhelmingly would be an understatement. I mean, the reality is this. No matter how you cut, slice, and dice it, Donald Trump is by far and away the Republican side.
God bless America. Thank you.
Here is someone that Californians are...
I thought, well, anyway, that video said that it was talking about the thing, but he said that people who loot stores will be shot. You should be shot. Now, this wasn't California, but it did happen. Guess where?
Hooray!
Florida, baby! Yes, sir. A Florida GameStop worker was arrested after police said he fatally shot a suspected shoplifter on Tuesday. Pembroke Pines police said they were called to GameStop in the area of Pines Boulevard and Hiatus Road at 8:16 p.m. Who shoplifts at 8:16? I guess that's a good time to do it. After a person was... What?
That's a pretty good time.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's probably better than during the day. After a person was shot by the employee, detectives said the employee identified as 33-year-old Derek Guerrero confronted a man he believed was shoplifting. Police said the man ran for the door with the merchandise. Investigators said Guerrero pulled a gun from his waistband and fired a single shot, striking the man in the torso. WTVJ reported that the man was able to get into a car that was waiting outside the store and being driven by his girlfriend. When the man's girlfriend noticed he was unresponsive, she pulled over into a plaza and called 911. Man was taken to a hospital where he died. Yikes. Police said the man never threatened Guerrero or displayed any type of weapon. Investigators told WTVJ that Guerrero had been a victim in September of a robbery at GameStop and brought a gun in for protection. He was taken into custody and charged with manslaughter. Thoughts on this?
I was thinking about like parallels between that and someone entering your home. Your home isn't public, open to the public, whereas GameStop is.
It's and private property, though. Mm-hmm. GameStop can say, we don't want you in here.
They can say that they don't want you in here, but can they shoot you if you're not being violent towards them? I don't know.
Yeah, that's where you get into.
Feel like his life was in jeopardy? No. So the stand your ground law doesn't really count there. He wasn't threatening the guy. He was stealing his stuff.
Allegedly, I don't even know.
I wish I knew more about the nuances of the law and what you're allowed to do. I would say that this is probably not a clean shoot.
Definitely doesn't seem like it. And is it worth? However, I kind of go like things are so bad now. We don't have a high trust society anymore. There's rampant theft. You know, these, and don't really feel bad for corporations necessarily, but just as somebody who is has a business, they're setting up shop, they're selling, offering merchandise, like you should be able to protect your property, right? If somebody's taking it. Now, that sucks if you die, but isn't it a good deterrent? Like, don't steal because you might get shot if you
certainly
steal.
Certainly a chilling effect. And it's not like this guy was stealing bread because he's starving and he has no other option.
Right.
He's stealing video games.
Right.
You know, I feel like it's hard to have compassion for people who are stealing like iPhones and technology. If they're just like, they're stealing something that's on Mavlo's hierarchy pretty high, which is, you know, food, fuel, energy, because they have absolutely nothing to eat. In that case, I say maybe it's worth taking the risk, right? But when you go into a GameStop, it's kind of hard to make that argument that you're doing it to preserve your life.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing? Is this, like, stealing Funko Pops? Like, is that worth, what are you doing?
I don't, well, he obviously didn't think he was going to die. You know, clearly. He thought he was going to get away with it.
Thought he's going to get away with it. I mean, I feel the, like, is a human life worth more than, a Funko Pop? And you're like, no, but also if
that's not his. Yeah.
I mean, like, it's not like you can't, it's a slippery slope. Like the Funko Pops are turned into cars and then you can go into your house and then take, you know, whatever. It's not worth a human life. And then you just have a bunch of people saying, you know, I'll just rob your house because you can't kill me or do anything to me because there's no consequences for these actions because your human life is more important.
Yeah. I mean, like, would it have been different if the guy, let's imagine he was still unarmed because that makes a huge difference. But if he just went in a ski mask and was like, give me all your money in the cash register. Let's pretend he doesn't have a gun, but you don't know he doesn't have a gun. You don't know that. I mean, that's a bit more of a aggressive approach to stealing something where it seems like he was just trying to shoplift. Again, certainly not worth it to shoot him. Not because we love this guy so much and we need to preserve his life, but more so as like as the person shooting, is it worth spending, you know, possibly a lifetime in jail? Like, clearly not. But also, I completely understand, like, well, you know, F around and find out sort of thing. And that's kind of how I feel about a lot of things going on where it's like, you know, F around and find out. You want to mess with people. You want to not even invade countries, but you want to go mess with civilians of a very powerful army. You know, F around and find out. I hate that I keep slipping back into the Palestinian.
Still on
Israeli
your
conflict.
Mind, huh?
Yeah, it's been on my mind a lot. And, you know, and I hate being like, I'm traumatized because it's like, dude, I'm so lucky to be like grieving this and feeling this from like thousands of miles away. But I am in contact with people who are in Tel Aviv telling me what they're going through, you know? And honestly, it was last night. It was really, really disturbing. I don't know if you saw the, I'm sure you heard or saw footage of the hospital getting bombed where 500 civilians, probably more now, have died. And honestly, Will, like it was really distressing to see those images of like just children screaming, crying, just really no hope for them. And, you know, I feel just as bad for them as I do for the Israeli children that were taken and killed or burned or kidnapped, whatever. It's really devastating. But I think that the main issue that I have with like other people's response to it is it just seems like they're really not taking the time to separate Hamas's goals and aspirations from that of the Palestinian people. And it seems like when we're talking about Israel, you know, they're the occupiers, they're the colonizers. It seems to be more of a snapshot of what's going on right now. By the way, Israel hasn't occupied Gaza since 2005. They pulled all of their people. They pulled 9,000 citizens out of Gaza in 2005. It was very unpopular among many Israelis, but they did it anyways. I mean, we're talking about like unburying bodies that were buried, their Jewish bodies that were buried there and bringing them into Israel. And they just basically put up a wall and said, govern yourselves. We're done here. You know, in the West Bank, it's a little bit of a different story, but it just seems like I've seen this honestly with both sides, where it just seems to be there's like a serious lack of compassion for the other. You know, people that are crying about Palestinian lives being lost were, you know, there's this girl that I don't really follow, but she came up and she was hysterical because she's Palestinian and she was crying hysterically. And then a week ago, like a day after the Israeli attack, there were the Hamas attack in Israel. She's like posting how to bake a souffle cake, like completely unmoved by those atrocities. But when it's her people, she feels it. Yeah. And it's for both sides, you know, both sides where it's like, oh, 500 Gazan children. Well, what do you expect? It's like, you know, almost the F word. I'm like, damn, like you don't feel that? You don't see Palestinian kids just blown to smithereens, no parents, orphaned, everyone's dead, and they're just shell-shocked? Like, that doesn't move you? You know, seeing Israeli kids abducted and grandmothers murdered, posted on Facebook, that doesn't move you? Like, to me, that's really the most disturbing thing. Yeah.
Well, it's wars inhumane, and, you know, it's propaganda being used on all sides of that whole thing. I don't know what's going on. I don't post about that. I don't even really like talking about it because I don't know what the hell is going on. I mean, there's two different narratives out there, and I don't really know the answer of what's happening with that stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's quite clear that people are just online posting, whatever fits their mood and fits their how they feel about the issue. Yeah. And there's like, those are real evidence there for these things. But it's like, there's, you know, it sucks. The babies that like, that's makes me sick to my stomach. But there's babies on both sides here that are, these are consequences of war that.
Well, yes, but I think it's more nuanced than that. I think there's a difference, not in the level of tragedy, but in the level of intention. When you have a terrorist group come into your country and actively kill your kids, rape your women, you know, kill elderly Holocaust survivors versus, again, I want to make this clear that it doesn't differ in the level of tragedy, but it differs in the level of intention, where you have then on the other side, you know, Hamas hiding among the people, using them as human shields. Israel shoots a rocket missile to decimate Hamas, and collateral damage, which I hate using that word because it's such a clinical word for killing civilians, but it is, that's what I mean. It's a collateral damage. The intention, the target is Hamas, and the collateral damage is citizens, you know, unarmed citizens. So I think they're not morally equivalent. They're not ethically equivalent, although the level of tragedy, both lives lost, very tragic. But I do want to make that distinction. Thank you.
I understand that. And unfortunately, there's going to be a lot more to come. This is only the beginning, and it's probably going to get larger. I know that I think there are some American troops on the ground there already, I think I saw. Not positive about that, but I think I saw that, some special forces there. And
yeah, I think they're working on the hostage situation. I think as of right now, I can't remember if it was 30 Americans killed or 30 Americans held hostage, missing. But I think Israeli and American forces are working together, at least on the hostage situation.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it's going to get probably going to get worse. And hopefully we'll have good news by next week. Hopefully this is all wrapped up by next podcast. Everything's in a nice little bow. Everybody's cool. Cooler heads prevail. And everybody starts getting along, you know, not only there, but here. I think that's going to be the case. I got my fingers crossed, Anna, and it's pretty much a sure thing. Fingers and balls are crossed.
Okay. Well, I hope so. I hope that's a good omen.
That's it. That's the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, Anna Hummel. You can catch her on the Bubba Love Sponge program on Rumble, and you can catch me on the Johnny B Show when the Lightning aren't playing on the bone, 8 p.m., 10 p.m. on Wednesday nights. For Anna Hummel, my name's Will Koontz. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you listen on podcast, thanks. Extra content over there at willsyoutube.com. I hope you'll check it out. And we'll talk to you very soon. Bye-bye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.